Silence and solitude are the soul's best friends. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we learn about one of the most important life skills not being taught or even talked about. Enjoy.
According to Pascal, we fear the silence of existence. We dread boredom and instead choose aimless distraction, and we can't help but run from the problems of our emotions into the false comforts of the mind. The issue at root, essentially, is that we never learn the art of solitude. Today, more than ever, Pascal's message rings true. If there is one word to describe the progress made in the last 100 years, it's connectedness. Information technologies have dominated our cultural direction. From the telephone to the radio, to the TV, to the internet, we have found ways to bring us all closer together, enabling constant worldly access. I can sit in my office in Canada and transport myself to practically anywhere I want through Skype. I can be on the other side of the world and still know what is going on at home with a quick browse. I don't think I need to highlight the benefits of all this, but the downsides are also beginning to show. Beyond the current talk about privacy and data collection, there is perhaps an even more detrimental side effect here. We now live in a world where we're connected to everything except ourselves. If Pascal's observation about our inability to sit quietly in a room by ourselves is true of the human condition in general, then the issue has certainly been augmented by an order of magnitude due to the options available today. The logic is, of course, seductive. Why be alone when you never have to? Well, the answer is that never being alone is not the same thing as never feeling alone. Worse yet, the less comfortable you are with solitude, the more likely it is that you won't know yourself. And then you'll spend even more time avoiding it to focus elsewhere. In the process, you'll become addicted to the same technologies that were meant to set you free. Just because we can use the noise of the world to block out the discomfort of dealing with ourselves doesn't mean that this discomfort goes away. Almost everybody thinks of themselves as self-aware. They think they know how they feel and what they want and what their problems are. But the truth is that very few people really do. And those that do will be the first to tell how fickle self-awareness is and how much alone time it takes to get there. In today's world, people can go their whole lives without truly digging beyond the surface level masks they wear. In fact, many do. We are increasingly out of touch with who we are, and that's a problem. If we take it back to the fundamentals, and this is something Pascal touches on too, our aversion to solitude is really an aversion to boredom. At its core, it's not necessarily that we are addicted to a TV set because there is something uniquely satisfying about it, just like we are not addicted to most stimulants because the benefits outweigh the downsides. Rather, what we are really addicted to is a state of not being bored. Almost anything else that controls our life in an unhealthy way finds its root in our realization that we dread the nothingness of nothing. We can't imagine just being rather than doing, and therefore we look for entertainment. We seek company, and if those fail, we chase even higher highs. We ignore the fact that never facing this nothingness is the same as never facing ourselves. And never facing ourselves is why we feel lonely and anxious in spite of being so intimately connected to everything else around us. Fortunately, there is a solution. The only way to avoid being ruined by this fear, like any fear, is to face it. It's to let the boredom take you where it wants, so you can deal with whatever it is that is really going on with your sense of self. That's when you'll hear yourself think, and that's when you'll learn to engage the parts of you that are masked by distraction. The beauty of this is that, once you cross that initial barrier, you realize that being alone isn't so bad. Boredom can provide its own stimulation. When you surround yourself with moments of solitude and stillness, you become intimately familiar with your environment in a way that forced stimulation doesn't allow. The world becomes richer, the layers start to peel back, and you see things for what they really are, in all their wholeness, in all their contradictions, and in all their unfamiliarity. You learn that there are other things you are capable of paying attention to than just what makes the most noise on the surface. Just because a quiet room doesn't scream with excitement, like the idea of immersing yourself in a movie or a TV show, doesn't mean that there isn't depth to explore there. Sometimes, the direction that this solitude leads you in can be unpleasant, especially when it comes to introspection. Your thoughts and your feelings, your doubts and your hopes. But in the long term, it's far more pleasant than running away from it all, without even realizing that you are. Embracing boredom allows you to discover novelty in things you didn't know were novel. It's like being an unconditioned child, seeing the world for the first time. It also resolves the majority of internal conflicts.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.